You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Delighted you guys are in touch with us. We love getting your dialogue and your feedback. That's what it's all about. We do it 1 to 3 o'clock each and every day right here, Dog Bowl and Berea. I'm Michael Regei. Matt Wilhelm is here as well. You can check us out at MattWilhelm57, at Michael Regei, at Nathan Zagura, at Browns_daily on Twitter. And with that in mind, we call in our producer extraordinaire, my man, David DiNatale. How you feeling,
Hi,
David?
Hi, guys. I'm great. Reg, I'm great. I am great. Dude, what a day.
Yeah.
Crazy day.
Yeah,
certainly there was, a larger contingent, David, out here than normal, as I'm sure you can understand.
Absolutely. A couple of good tweets that I wanted to run past you guys. Again, tweet the show at Browns_daily. From David Whitman, how can anyone be mad at 7-5? You ride Hoyer till we're out of it. I will, says David, be mad if we re-up Brian Hoyer, though, because Johnny Manziel's the future.
That's a great point, and that's something that I've said. And when people want to talk about same old Browns, no, this is not the same old Browns. When's the last time that you won 7 games in an entire season and we still have 4 to play? And you're absolutely right. I don't think there's any switch, as we've said, weeks back until you're technically out of it. And then it becomes experimental time. And I also do agree. I don't believe that up to this point that Brian Hoyer has done enough to secure a long-term contract to definitively be the future of the quarterback position for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, agreed. But see, that's the thing. And to me, that's the beauty of it. And that's why, yes, I am behind Mike Pettine's decision. Because it's not about after this season. It's about staying tunnel vision on you've given yourself an opportunity to play for something significant in the month of January. And that's exactly what all this is all about. Not worried about next year. And to me, that's a big step in the right direction for this NFL franchise. Let that take care of itself. You got 7 months to deal with that if you don't make the playoffs.
It definitely is. And again, one other thing that I know a lot of you Browns fans are in tune to is the great thing that I have and the pride in my eye by being a representative of this show and of the Cleveland Browns is every time that playoff configuration comes up on ESPN or NFL Network to see the Cleveland Browns name and that helmet set there in that conversation. You have been outside looking in year after year after year. You're in the thick of it, and this is bigger than one player. It is about this 53-man roster saying there's an opportunity out there, and it's on us to go prove ourselves each and every week.
And you can't diminish that, bottom line. David, what else is in that Twitter mailbag today?
Yeah, from Michael Gershutz on Twitter. Boy, the Browns just don't know how to exist without a quarterback situation, he says. We should never have picked up Johnny, ruining quarterbacks since 1999.
It's a good point. I'm not going to say, again, Ray Farmer has done a great job evaluating talent. Johnny was brought here for a reason in mind. And also, too, as you talked dynamics earlier, Michael, one of the dynamics that I'd like to bring up is it's a two-way street. One is pro Hoyer, one is pro Manziel. Are we having this conversation if it's Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles, Derek Carr, potentially, after we've seen their body of work as a backup of Hoyer? But also, too, is are we sticking with Brian Hoyer or so pro Hoyer because he is a Cleveland guy and a Northeast Ohio guy and an even more so an Ignatius kid? So it's there's biases that can come in at certain points that people don't like the dynamic personality that is Johnny Football. And would we be having this conversation or would the fan base be so 50-50 mm-hmm. in favor of another guy,
yeah,
not Johnny Manziel?
Well, exactly, and I think that's that is very viable and very relevant what you're saying. I'll tell you a quick story. I've known him since he's been in high school. I think he was did you and Troy play together, Smith?
Yes,
for one
year. 1 year.
1 year, that's right. Okay, well, again, and I say this with a lot of love, a lot of affection, but used to get calls and stopped on the street all the time, Matt, after the 2006 Heisman Trophy winning season, national championship opportunity. Browns fans wanted Troy to be – Browns had the third overall pick. They wanted Troy to be taken with the third overall pick in the draft.
Where did he go?
Sixth round. And I get it, okay? I get it. But as I said, I used the line at the time, guys, please. I like Troy Smith a lot too. But take a step back. If Troy Smith was born in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and went to Utah State, you wouldn't even know who he is.
Right. You're correct. Absolutely correct.
So, I mean, again, you got to factor all that out.
Yes, you do.
You know, you can like all these young men, but if they cannot win for you.
Correct.
Or not looked upon by that type of, as that type of talent by National Football League evaluators, then, you know, you're spinning your wheels because a kid's a hometown guy.
You're right. And I think also, too, what weighs heavily in Mike Pettine's decision today is 7 victories and 12 opportunities, you know. And just percentage-wise, moving forward, he believes that he gives us the safest, best bet of winning football games and potentially making a playoff appearance.
Sure. David, you got one more on the Twitter side you'd like to roll at us?
Yeah, just got this, matter of fact, from Mike Newsom, guys. Boy, it's a poor decision, says Mike. How much worse could Johnny throw the ball and at least he can run? Hashtag, you cannot unring the bell.
See, that's part of the I believe what they went through in their assessment of this. Again, you look at it. You got, I'm never going to be that I don't want my quarterback running 10, 12, 14, 15 times a football game. Have you not been paying attention with that dynamic with Robert Griffin through the years with Michael Vick? Now Jim Harbaugh having some of those issues with Colin Kaepernick. I think Russell Wilson, the difference to me, Russell Wilson, he throws the football from in the box. He can make throws from the pocket. Wilson's not looking to get out of there. My perception, Matt, is that that's the biggest thing right now with regard that I would say, this is me, with regard to why I think Johnny's got some growth to do. My thing is he's going to look at that first read, and if it's not there, he's out of there, meaning that he is going to get out of that box and look to make something happen with his legs instead. Now, that's my feeling. That's what I saw in training camp, and I saw it in the preseason, and I think that there still has to be growth with him there to be able – quarterbacks in the NFL to win, got to bake and win from the pocket.
You're absolutely right, and I think also, too, as we move forward with a quarterback like Johnny Manziel deviating out of the pocket more frequently than a quarterback should, because Johnny is Johnny Football and he is that personality, I think the bullseye – as a former defender – every time the quarterback left the pocket, you're like, I want to get a lick on the guy that makes that offense tick. Didn't mean to rhyme to say that, but I just did. But you want to get a hit on him, and that's why so many quarterbacks that lead with their feet, you have to be very wary of getting it on him because you'll draw a flag. But when they lead with their head or they're out running, you run faster to get a hit on that quarterback because they're so few and far between. And if you have a guy or a running quarterback that deviates out of the pocket that ups that frequency – draws a larger bullseye on his back, and also, too, is Johnny Football, the money sign, all that great stuff, only wants to make you hit him harder.
Let me say this, too, real quickly. I feel like, again, now you get into the offseason, can Johnny make this a part of? Can the growth happen? Of course.
Sure.
He's got the talent and skills. I'm not putting him in the box, pardon the pun, and saying he'll never be able.
No, that is part of how his game transfers is part of the evaluation process of why he was a first-round pick.
That's right. But right now, you could see that is not first nature to him. What is first nature to him? First read, not there, I'm out of here. Absolutely. I'm going to go make something happen with my legs. It won't sustain in the NFL.
No.
But let's hope he grows in the
offseason.
And through his study, that becomes something that becomes natural to him.
No doubt, and that's why you've drafted him. You didn't draft him to run the football 15 times a game. You drafted him to be the quarterback and leader, and that dynamic is in addition to how he is as a passer.
Absolutely. Matty, fascinating. Love the dialogue with you as always. You and I will do it again tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Nathan will be here for a little bit tomorrow. We'll get Nathan back as well. But join Matt and I starting at 1 o'clock tomorrow for another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dave DiNatale, thank you, sir. Appreciate all of our producers' help today.
Adam Kaplan, thank you so much for tuning in. Great national perspective on everything Cleveland Browns.
It was good. We've got a lot more of this coming up tomorrow. Coming up next right here on ESPN Cleveland, the Golden Boys with Goldhammer and Golden. I think DiNatale will be a part of that as well with his voice there, too. Matt Wilhelm, again, we'll see you tomorrow afternoon at 1.
You got it, buddy.
A lot to do then. We expect you to be right back. We'll be taking roll call. We expect you to be back here with us. For all the aforementioned, Michael Regge, I hope you enjoy the rest of this football Wednesday, Browns Nation. We'll see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Golden Boys next. Till tomorrow, so long, everybody. Have yourself a good football evening.